Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Let's just test the system here. Can anybody hear me? Mike, can you hear me? Hello. Todd, can you hear me? Hello.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk that suddenly none of the microphones work. This is the third week in a row we've been having trouble, so we're going to have to contact them. We apologize for that inconvenience. Anyway, folks, the very first thing we want to start out with today is Tony Khan, who has changed his mind and then re-changed his mind about a number of things, starting with the WWE and, I guess, going head-to-head with Rampage, which they will be doing tonight. WWE SmackDown is on FS1. FS1 traditionally draws a whole lot less numbers because they're in a whole lot less households. The last time SmackDown was on FS1, I believe it drew 888,000 people. That's not a lot of people. Tony Khan said he's looking forward to beating their number one show. Well, that was not received very well. Even by wrestling community, that was not received very well. So Tony Khan kind of walked it back. And Tony Khan said, well, you know, listen, they may win. It doesn't matter. We're not really in competition with them, which is his old standby, but then he brings them up every 5 minutes. We're not really in competition with them. It's okay. We get it. We're still a fledgling organization, and, you know, we've only been here a year or so, and, you know, his usual routine. Then he says, what I don't understand is, you know, the WWE product sucks, and they're drawing this 1-7 or whatever they're doing over on Raw when Raw sucked. This is a problem. This is going to be a problem. I'm telling you. If anyone could get a word into Tony Khan's ear, the word should be stop it. Telling you right now, you are destroying potential fans to your product. And I think you're trying to play a character. That's what I think you're doing. I think you're trying to be Vince McMahon. See, I don't think Tony Khan hates Vince McMahon or doesn't think Vince McMahon is a great businessman. I think Tony Khan wants to be Vince McMahon, except he wants to be Vince McMahon in the sense that he wants to be that character. If I make myself a character, I'm a TV star, which I think is what Tony Khan wanted from the very beginning when he launched this. He was a fan, and I think he wants to be a TV personality. That's what I think Tony Khan wants. What he's got to remember is that Vince McMahon, from as long as I was alive, has had at least some dealings in WWE. If you go way, way back to before I was alive, I believe Vince McMahon was just the announcer for his dad. Eventually, Vince McMahon took over the company and everything, but the bottom line of the situation is he wasn't an on-screen personality for years and years and years and years and years, and probably never would have been had it not been for the Bret Hart incident. It's not like Vince McMahon woke up one day and said, I think I'll be an on-air personality. I think I'll go ahead and give myself a character. He said, if everybody wants to hate me over the Bret Hart thing, maybe I could financially benefit from this by turning it into a gimmick, turning it into a character, and he did. So before Tony Khan gets his panties in a bunch and says, let me play a character, and then he has to keep walking it back because the character he's playing, nobody really realizes he's playing a character, and he's not doing it all that well. And so, and I didn't mean it. Well, then it's all ruined. Tony, just do your show. Just do your show. Now, it's very rare that yours truly and CM Punk agree on anything, but CM Punk, I guess, came out in an interview and said, do we really have the female talent to have another belt? Because if we do, I don't see it. Aren't we stretching ourselves a little thin here? Maybe we should have the talent before we get a second belt. 100% agree. Now here's the problem. Now that I 100% agree with CM Punk, this is none of CM Punk's business. CM Punk is not a commentator. CM Punk is not a blog host. CM Punk is a professional wrestler in that organization in the men's division, and it's time to keep your mouth shut and worry about what you're doing. This is going to be the negativity of CM Punk, see? He's a guy who likes controversy. He's a guy who likes to have everyone talking about him on the internet. So he's going to always do these things. And sometimes they are not the benefit of the company he's working for. And AEW is now finding this out with CM Punk saying, what's every fourth woman in the division going to have a belt? I mean, we have eight women. We have two belts. See, this is the problem. Now, that is a fair criticism, and it's true, but it's not his place to say. He's working for this company. He's in the men's division. All he needs to do is worry about his own matches. You let people like myself and Mike and Todd and all the wrestling world worry about that. You go ahead and wrestle. Your job is not to be a commentator or an opinion host. And when CM Punk can't help himself. So when he says things like this, Mike, this is where it starts. This is where we start to get a little rumblings of, you know, his mouth is getting him in trouble, and this is invariably not a good thing. I guess we don't have Mike there. Let's go to Todd.
Can you hear
Todd,
me now?
What do you
think? You're absolutely right. Like you said, CM Punk should not be a commentator or a blogger or anything. His job is be a wrestler. That's like you said. It's. I think he should keep his mouth shut. Just keep doing what he's doing in the ring. That's it. Mostly.
See, that's the problem, Mike. Is he can't help himself. This is who CM Punk is, not as a character, but as a person. He likes to create controversy. He likes to open his mouth and cause people to talk about him. And sometimes it's to the detriment of the company he works for.
Right. And sometimes it even gets other people in trouble. It poisons other people. I mean, think about what happened with his wife, you know? I mean,
yeah.
She... After a while, she started to spout off, and then, well, we know what happened there. But, yeah, he's a guy that's all mouthy at times. I mean, look, oh, I'm going to go over to, you know, I'm the best in the world, and I'm going to go over to UFC and do all this stuff. Well, he got beat by the lowest of the low-level talent in the UFC, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's... His mouth tends to overload his ass.
Yeah, on a regular basis. And again, this is why I had cautioned when everyone was saying, "Oh, CM Punk is going to be the greatest for AEW." It said it's a double-edged sword. Turning to wrestling for AEW is a big deal. It is initially going to get huge ratings, and it may even pop the ratings long term. So far, it hasn't, but it could. Once he starts actually facing better talent. Then the other side of that sword is that if one little tiny thing that doesn't even affect him, such as if the women's division is ready for a second title, if one little tiny thing meets with his disapproval, he's going to mouth it off. He's going to run to everybody who'll listen to him and say, "This is wrong. This shouldn't happen. I don't think we have enough people for this. I don't think we should have made this match. I don't think we should do this. I don't think we should do that." That's the type of guy he is. You don't see Daniel Bryan doing that. Only CM Punk, because that's who he is. He tends to be a shit stirrer, and he does it on purpose because he thinks that it's self-aggrandizement. He thinks it keeps his name out there. He thinks that's what you want from him. So his gimmick, if you will, is to just be a perpetual shit stirrer. And if that ends up costing someone, or that ends up hurting somebody's feelings backstage, or that ends up isolating him from some people, he don't care. He doesn't. So this is going to be an issue. We'll see where this goes. Right now we kept it to, do we really have enough women for this? I mean, shouldn't we get some more talent before we get a second belt? Okay, well, that's his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion. But again, when you make your opinion public, that's something you might want to say to Tony Khan. That's something you might want to say to Cody Rhodes. I'm not sure you want to run to all the, you know, blog hosts and podcasts, and that's the first thing out of your mouth. I don't see why that's important to you. I mean, I think a better question is, are you going to face anybody that's actually not obvious that you're going to win? Now, what they're saying is that CM Punk is being set up for MJF. I found out a very startling thing about MJF. Now, as a rule, I'm very kind to MJF because I think he's a very, very big up-and-coming talent. And I think he is one of the better heels in the business, actually, right now. However, someone brought to my attention he has wrestled 4 matches this entire year. Solo matches. Just 4. You can't do that. I'm sorry, you can't do that. And that is why I'm saying Tony Khan may have bit off more than he can chew when it comes to his roster, because when you got guys like MJF only having 4 solo matches all year long, this is a guy who should be on TV weekly. This is a guy you should be pushing, not just coming out flapping his lips. Guy wrestles 4 times, man. He's going to wrestle, what, 8 times? I think he had 4 tag team matches. He wrestled 8 times. That's not enough. You're not going to build a star that way. I mean, you got Roman Reigns wrestling every week in a tag team match or a run-in or something. He's basically out there at some point every week. So is Bobby Lashley when he was the champion. So is Big E in some capacity. So was Drew McIntyre when he was the champion. You know, yeah, you do that maybe with a Brock Lesnar because he's already established. I don't know about MJF. I was surprised, Mike. It seemed like he was on TV more, but that's the statistics. 8 matches total, only 4 solo.
Yeah, and you know, there are very few people that, like you said, Brock Lesnar because he's established, and of course, before he retired, The Undertaker. Those are the few people that can get away with 1 match. 2 matches, 3, maybe 3 matches a year, you know. But they are already established stars. You need to keep. I mean, when he came out there and said we have the 4 pillars of AEW, and he mentioned himself, you know. Now he was just flapping his gums, but he's true. But if he really wants to be that pillar of the company, they need to have him out there. I mean, look, how long has, I don't want to say she's overextended, but how long has Britt Baker been out there? She's the pillar of the women's division right now. How long has she been out there?
Yeah, that's my point. My point is, if he's a young up-and-coming talent, now this is one thing if you wanted to do this with CM Punk, or even Daniel Bryan or Christian even, somebody who's really well-established and they don't have a ton of matches maybe in them and you're just, you know, you're getting what you can out of them. This is a young guy, man. He's got to be out there. He's got to be plying his trade on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be out there every single week, but if he can't go a couple times a month, I mean, he should in some capacity. Remember, on a tag team match, he's only got to be in there for a minute or two. At some capacity, he should be on every show in the ring. Or damn near every show in the ring. So I was surprised to hear that. I'm not sure I agree with that. That may be the next thing CM Punk says is, are we really using him the right way? Or is it just he can't go? Maybe there's something we don't know. But I heard that that's what the program's going to be anyway. They're trying to get a MJF eventually, CM Punk MJF, which would be a nice war of the words anyway on the microphone, I suppose. And I don't know about the match. We'll find out, won't we? Some other big news is apparently The Rock will not be at the Survivor Series as they had wanted. The Rock is in Australia during the Survivor Series. There was some rumor that he might head a team to take on Roman Reigns and the Usos. That's obviously not happening. Then there was some rumor that, well, they wanted him for this year's WrestleMania. That's not happening, apparently. So now there's a lot of people saying we're going to stretch this until the WrestleMania after this one, which is going to take place in California. And they think that The Rock will be able to make that. That would mean it's either A, not for a title, or B, Roman Reigns has to have that title WrestleMania 2020. What would it be? Two? Three? Whatever. They literally would have to have this for over a year more. I'm not sure that's a good idea. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, it's certainly not broke. And I'm not saying that Roman Reigns should drop the belt even, you know, in Saudi Arabia or anything. But if you're going to feud him with The Rock, then he's still a heel. And if he's still a heel, there's a really good chance Paul Heyman's not turning on him or anything. So if that's what you have planned, and you've got it planned in a year in advance, you're going to keep that belt on him that long? That's a long, long, long time. And by recent WWE standards, that's an eternity. So I don't know. I don't know. You could, of course, have him drop it and regain it. But then I think if you do that, the magic is gone about who's going to beat Roman Reigns. Not that The Rock will. Because obviously he's going to have to go back to Hollywood, so that's not going to happen. But at least the mystique is there. So I don't know. This is going to be an interesting situation to see how the WWE handles this. Personally, I think the match is not worth it. I think The Rock would end up coming back, probably not be in any real ring shape to do this. I don't think he's going to give Roman Reigns any boost by losing to him at this point. He's not going to win. So I don't really think it's even that big of a deal, Todd, but they seem to be very determined to have this match.
You're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said about The Rock and the Roman Reigns versus Roman Reigns thing. Like you said, it's not going to happen at Survivor Series. It's not going to happen at the Royal Rumble. Maybe, just maybe, WrestleMania in 2022 in California.
Yeah, and I don't even think it'd be that big of a deal by then, Mike. I think the Roman Reigns thing has built up to the point now where arguably the Brock Lesnar feud is more important than a Rock feud.
It really is, and think about it. I mean, they're still with the Brock Lesnar thing. There's still questions that what will Paul Heyman do? I mean, Paul Heyman's character is the CD. BDI kind of Jim Cornette / Bobby the Brain Heenan type guy, right? That, you know, that's his character, and we know what that thing is. And look, that would kind of put him. I mean, how long did Hogan hold that title, WWF title, before he dropped it? I mean, they had to, if they're going to go that way, they're going to have to build somebody else up in the interim, which I'm not all that confident they can do.
I'm not that confident they can do it either. I'm really not. The WWE, see, here's the thing. I was having a little chat with some people over on a wrestling board last night, and they were saying, well, Tony Khan said that, you know, he has more money than Vince McMahon. If he wants to, he'll run Vince McMahon out of business. And I said, well, Tony Khan himself has no money. I mean, that I know of, his father has the money, and his father can dish it out. But so far, his father's money has dished out a wrestling federation that kind of averages out about 800,000 to 900,000 viewers when the WWE is literally putting on garbage. Literally putting on garbage and getting 171,819. So I don't think that there's any proof of that. WWE fans, for the most part, they're going to complain. They're going to holler. They're like baseball fans. They complain. They holler. They yell. They scream. They say, get rid of this guy and do this and do that and do this. But they don't desert the team. See, that's the thing Tony Khan has to understand, and I don't think he does. I think he thinks, well, if I side with the fans and tell them how terrible the WWE product is, like they don't know it, they'll just all jump over to my side and say, ah, he's on our side. He's a good guy. No, what's going to end up happening is that would be like Yankee fans saying, hey, Mets fans, you suck. Your team sucks. Come on over to our side. Come wear the Yankee jersey. Come wear the Yankee hat. We're a better team. We'll win for you once in a while. The Mets aren't going to win. The Mets aren't going to win. They're going to disappoint you. We know good baseball. Mets fans are not going to say, okay, thank you. Mets fans are going to say, hey, go to hell. We're Mets fans. See, here, that's the problem. So Tony Khan, if he was smart, would engage the WWE audience by saying there's room for us all. All I'm asking for WWE fans is to watch our product. If you don't like it, that's fair. If you do like it, watch us both. Instead, he's trying to make it a war. And because he thinks that's the right thing to do, it's not the right thing to do at all. And I have a newsflash. If he really does get in a war with Vince McMahon, he's not winning it. So far, Vince McMahon has been like, yeah, he's a pissant. Yeah, he's a little bit annoying, but you know, we're not worried about him. That's what you want. You know, when you got the vicious dog sleeping on the porch and you're trying to tiptoe into the house, you don't take a big old rock and throw it at the dog, right? You just get your ass in the house. Well, Tony Khan's throwing rocks at the dog, and I'm telling you right now that Vince McMahon, just because he has such a huge head start on AEW, just because he has so many ingrained fans, it's not going to end well if this happens. I'm telling you it's not. I know there's going to be AEW fans out there saying, oh, no, they'll blow him away. No, they won't. I'm telling you they won't. It's not about talent. We're not arguing talent. We're arguing business. Forget wrestling. I don't care if they're two hamburger companies. What I'm telling you is that Vince McMahon has the business acumen and the ability to run roughshod if he's really, really, really of a mindset to do so. So you don't do it. You just let it be and slowly kind of bring some fans over. And I still wouldn't poke the bear. If I was AEW, I'd still be saying, you know, I hear fans saying WWE's no good. That's a matter of opinion. They have a ton of talented people over there. We have a ton of talented people over here. We'd like you to come watch us too. The best thing Tony Khan could ever have said, but he's not smart enough to say it. Sometimes very rich people aren't very smart. The very best thing Tony Khan could ever have said is, we did not go head-to-head with SmackDown, nor Raw. The reason we didn't do this, and by the way, we weren't the ones who went head-to-head with NXT. NXT went head-to-head with us. We were there first. The reason was not because we were afraid. The reason is we wanted all wrestling fans to be able to watch all of it. And you could make your own decision. In other words, we didn't want to force you to make a choice. We didn't want you to say either watch us or watch them, because we're not about that. We're about watch it all, because we think the more wrestling fans in the world, the better. That's the smart thing that Tony Khan could have said, instead of, oh, I can't wait to beat their top show. Their show sucks. You're not a character, Tony. You can put on those stupid glasses and get your hair curled up as high as a football helmet. You're not a character. Simple as that. Billy Corgan found that out. You're not a character. It doesn't work. So, Mike, I think that's what a smart man would have done, and then you wouldn't have isolated any fans.
Right. And think about this. I'm going to go back to quite a number of years and go back to what happened with Ted Turner. Ted, when he bought Jim Crockett Promotions, one of the first things he did was call Vince and say, look, I got me a wrestling company. Yeah, I'm a billionaire, and I'm going to take you over. You know, I'm going to beat you because I want to be you. or something to that way, something to the effect. And it didn't. It really, in the long run, it didn't work out for Ted Turner because he spent a lot of money, but at some point he started to cut back on his spending to get people there to in buying ratings, and he cut back on the spending, and we saw what happened, right? So this isn't the...
Yeah, I don't know. Again, if it's going to be an us-against-them mentality, I don't think AEW's coming out on the winning end of this ratings-wise ever. I just don't. The WWE is too big of a machine as far as the head start they've had on fans and the momentum they built up with their characters. It's too hard. That's too hard. And Tony Khan should know that. Obviously he doesn't. Now we have some information about Bray Wyatt. Apparently a very reliable source has leaked some information saying Bray Wyatt, yes, part of it was he was making a large amount of money and there was budget concerns, but that wasn't the live-all, die-all. They said he had become very difficult to work with, and he seemed to be disinterested in the company. And some contributing factors of him being difficult to work with and seeming to have lost some interest in it led to, and the financial, all of it together led to their decision to let him go. Now, once again, I call bullshit, and here's why I call bullshit. I don't care what you say. The ultimate goal in professional wrestling for these corporates are to make money. Bray Wyatt was free. Let me repeat that. Bray Wyatt was wrestling for free. How was he doing that, you ask? Well, it's very simple. His merchandise sales were tripling his salary, meaning that the WWE never really had to cut him a check. Technically, I mean, they did, obviously. But what I'm saying is when they cut him a check, it was just a portion of his sales. What the WWE was earning on his merchandise, and he was getting a part of it too, but what they were earning on his merchandise paid for him three times over. So he was wrestling for them for negative. He was actually making them more money than he was earning. So there's no reason to let him go for financial cuts. You're actually benefiting financially by keeping him. So that is bullshit. I could see if you locked in a guy like Braun Strowman and then he's making big money and he's not that popular anymore and his sales have gone down and he's not that big of a draw and we thought he was going to be bigger and now we're locked into a 5-year deal with a guy we can't use. Got you. But that wasn't Bray Wyatt. That would be like saying, well, we let the New Day go because of budget costs. New Day's made 10 times their salary in merchandise. You let them go because they're making you 10 times what they're costing you. So that's bullshit. The second part may not be bullshit. Bray Wyatt, I had heard the same thing, that Bray Wyatt had kind of put his foot down and said, I'm tired of this nonsense of losing. It's not that I don't think the character should ever lose. It's just that he never wins. How can I possibly be this character that I've created and you book me to lose to everybody? You're kind of just shitting all over my character. So if you're going to just shit on this character, then I'd just rather not do the character. And he was refusing, well, we want you to do this or we want you to do that. And he was saying, yeah, I don't think so. In other words, he wanted some creative control. How was he treated? Well, I don't know. Seth Rollins himself said, I begged Vince McMahon, you can't let the Fiend lose in Hell in a Cell. As a matter of fact, on the Stone Cold podcast, he said, I wanted to choke Vince McMahon for that. I literally was so mad at him. I told him, this is going to turn me heel. The fans are going to boo me out of the building. This is a huge, gigantic, colossal mistake. And Vince said, no, that's what we're going with. Then they had him lose to Goldberg in Saudi Arabia for no reason at all. Then they had him lose to Randy Orton for no reason at all. Then they had him lose to Randy Orton again for no reason at all. So the bottom line of the situation is Bray Wyatt had had enough and said, well, this, how is this helping me and my character? You want me to keep up my sales, you want me to keep up the whatever, but you're running it in the ground just like you did the Bray Wyatt character. It's the exact same thing you did to the Bray Wyatt cult leader character. And I'm not just going to sit there and watch that happen. I'm putting my foot down. I'm not doing certain things. I'm not doing it. If it's not going to benefit me, I'm not doing it. Doesn't say he wasn't going to lose. Let's make that clear. Bray Wyatt's smart enough to know that character has to lose once in a while. Once in a while. For instance, it was perfectly acceptable that he lost the fire match if he came back at WrestleMania and destroyed Randy Orton. Then you would have said, well, okay, I get it. That was a big buildup for a match. I get it. It was not acceptable under any circumstances that he lost to Bill Goldberg. And the Seth Rollins thing, Rollins himself said it's a mistake. And obviously they agreed with him because what did they do? They changed it the very next time they got in the ring and the Fiend won the belt. So the WWE themselves admitted they mishandled it. So when Bray Wyatt comes out and says, look, I want some more creative control over this character because I think you're ruining it, technically he's not being selfish. Technically he's saying, what's best for this company if you want me to continue to sell merchandise and tickets and have people watch me is that you don't treat me like garbage. And for whatever reason, the WWE finds that hard to work with, Mike. That's not my definition of hard to work with.
Right, and this is one of the things that kind of has caused their product to be, well, I don't want to say so bad, but bad, at least for the time being, to where their ratings are up and down and you can't get consistently high ratings because they don't know the characters and they mess characters up and they can't get characters right, and they put people together that shouldn't be put together and all this stuff. And he's right to say what he said. Now, should he have said it out loud? Should he have said it in public? Well, if he said it in private, in the back room, and they didn't listen to him, where else is he going to say it? You know?
Yeah, listen, this is the problem with the WWE. And I'm a WWE fan. You know, I could be on this radio show, and I'm a Mets fan, and I could tell you a bazillion bad things about the New York Mets. But I'm still a fan. Here's the bad thing about the WWE. They have lost the ability to create a character that people actually care about. And whenever they do create a character that people seem to care about, they destroy it. And it really is beginning to make me feel it's done on purpose. I don't know what the purpose would be. That's the thing that frustrates me. But I can back up what I'm saying. Bray Wyatt had the entire audience singing he's got the whole world in his hands. That was against your most popular guy, John Cena. What'd you do to him? You destroyed him. Elias had the entire audience singing Walk with Elias, hanging on every one of his words, hanging on every one of his songs. What'd you do with him? You destroyed him. Rusev had the entire audience chanting Rusev Day, singing Rusev Day, buying calendars where every day was marked as Rusev Day, buying t-shirts that said Rusev Day. What'd you do? You destroyed him. Bray Wyatt reinvents himself as the Fiend, a character that's popular enough to sell merchandise by the truckloads. What'd you do? You destroyed him. There's your evidence. What's the problem? You clearly see that the audience is into a character, and you decide we are going to self-destruct this character, and then you are surprised when fans are mad at you. Fans are mad at you because they still liked Rusev very much. Fans are mad at you because they still like Bray Wyatt very much. Fans are mad at you because they still liked Elias very much. It's just that you ruined them. So when the fans say, oh, man, you know, Elias got boring, yeah, you made him boring. You wouldn't let him go out and do what his strengths were. You kept him a heel when quite obviously the fans wanted to cheer for him and were more than willing to, but you made him an ineffective heel. See, that's the face. That's the thing. You said, he's a heel. Okay. And then you said, well, wait a minute. The fans are starting to like him. All right, we'll flip him face. But he loses every time. Well, then fans are not going to root for him. How about if you did that with Stone Cold Steve Austin, huh? How about if you said, okay, the fans are wanting to cheer for Stone Cold? Flip him. But he loses every time. He'd have been a footnote in history. You can't have somebody lose every time after you've just flipped them either heel or face. Because then they're irrelevant. That's what you did, technically, that's what you did to quite a few of your people. Apollo Crews, even, you said, well, okay, he's going to win the belt. Then he's going to lose all the time, and it's very seldom going to be seen. Okay, well, you never really fleshed that out then. You had him come in with a couple of army guys. Then you said, no, we're just going to go with General Aziz. We're not going to go with these other guys. Why? A couple of guys there that could have been a tag team. So then you would have had Apollo Crews, his tag team of soldiers, and General Aziz as the big, you know, bodyguard type guy. You had a pretty good faction there. You could have ran with that for a long time. I don't care if Apollo Crews didn't have a tremendous personality. You could have done a lot of things with that. No, and we don't. Well, why bother? We gave him a shot, and eh, it's getting old. Getting old. That's what you do constantly, WWE. And fans are sick of it now. Fans have gotten to the point where they say, I'm not going to put any interest into this character, like Karrion Kross. You bring him in, and what do? Well, we're going to show he loses to Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy first. Then he'll go on his unstoppable winning streak. Yeah, but the fans have already seen him lose. It's like rewrapping the Christmas present. It's like saying, oh, you know that toy train set you've been playing with for a week? Yeah, put it back in the box. That's what you're going to be opening Christmas morning. And we expect you to go, oh, my God, a train set. No, see, that's not the way it works. You have a guy come in and become unstoppable. And then when he loses, it's the big deal. And fans are thrilled or whatever it happens to be that, yes, he finally got what's coming to him. You didn't do that. So no amount of Karrion Kross winning is going to help you. You've destroyed that character. You're going to try to rebrand Elias now if you ever bring him back as something. I don't know. You didn't need to rebrand him. He wasn't broke. This is something that they do constantly, and this probably is why fans are so aggravated with WWE as a whole.
Right, and look, I fear they've done a pretty good job in building up Rick Boogs. They've got it to the point of where the fans, when he starts his spiel, before he plays Nakamura to the ring, they're chanting his name, all right? You know, they're doing it. And they even had him win a couple of matches. Now, he hadn't been in the ring all that often, and maybe there's a good reason for that. But at least with him, they had him win a couple of matches. One was a tag team match, but he got the pinfall himself, right? And so, yeah. And so, that's the way you handle him. A guy gets popular, you know, and you got to handle him correctly, and that's how you handle him. Keep him that way. I mean, yeah. Well, he got popular basically off of with the help of Nakamura, but he's popular.
The problem is, I have no faith that they will continue it because they've destroyed so many others. I mean, were we not told Jackson Ryker? Okay, we personally thought Jackson Ryker should have been a heel, a stalkerish heel. But they said, oh, no, we see great potential in him as a top babyface. Okay. So much potential, we're going to have him destroy Elias. Okay. Where is he? So you had him destroy Elias. because you had so much faith in him, and then you said, yeah, we're pulling the rug out from under you. We have no faith in you left at all. So you're a double loser. You lost any buildup for Elias, and you lost Jackson Riker. It makes no sense. That would be like saying we're building up Rick Boogs, and we think he's going to be big, and we're going to have him get a couple of wins, and then for whatever reason, he's going to destroy Nakamura as a heel. He's going to turn on Nakamura as a heel. And then he's going to get rolled up by Ricochet for a three count, and you're not going to see him much no more. Well, then why'd you do that? Because now you've destroyed Nakamura. You've destroyed Rick Boogs, and you're not going to do anything with Ricochet. Well, that's exactly what you did with Jackson Riker. Oh, but we're going to do something with Elias. Well, it better be something good, because I got news for you. What he had was fine. And if you wanted to keep him a heel, I would assume that you could have him feud with Rick Boogs. That would have actually been a pretty fun match, right? You see, folks, when a wrestling federation does this time and time and time again, you get to a point where you say it has to be on purpose. Because I'm not a genius sitting over here. They understand that Elias was getting huge reaction and decided, let's let him lose. Let's break all that reaction. Let's take all that good momentum that was built up and destroy it. They had to know that. They had to know when they saw Jackson Riker a few times get zero reaction, this isn't working. Let's just go ahead and put Elias over because this isn't working. They had to know that Rusev was one of the most popular people there and should have kept that momentum going at all costs. No matter what they had to do, they didn't bother. Time and time and time and time again. And so now I don't think they're just a hapless wrestling company who doesn't know anything, because you don't get to be a billion-dollar corporation knowing nothing. I think for whatever bizarre reason, they enjoy sabotaging what the fans demand. It's almost like you're not telling us what to do. Oh, you like this guy and we didn't see anything in him? Well, we'll make you not like him. We want you to like this guy. Yeah, but we don't like that guy. Well, you will, because he's going to destroy the guy that you like. We're going to make the guy you like so terrible, so impossible to watch, that you'll finally say, well, I give up on him then. That's, forget it. And then you'll like who we want you to like. And I, for the life of me, I do not understand this, because it doesn't matter who you like. 30 guys out there, and I think guy number 1, 2, and 3 are going to be the top guys, and it turns out that you like guys number 27, 28, and 29. Those are the guys I'm running with. And I'm running with them until you stop liking them. And when I find out what it is you like about them, I'm going to accentuate that and try to keep it alive as long as I possibly can, because that's going to be financially to my benefit. I said it before on the show, I'll say it again. If you have a lemonade stand and you have an iced tea with the lemonade and the iced tea is outselling the lemonade, you don't piss in the iced tea to sell more lemonade. You change the sign on the lemonade stand to iced tea stand, and we also sell lemonade. Because that's what business does. You run with a hot hand. You run with what the people demand. Supply and demand. You got the supply. How come you're not giving the fans what they demand? And when you do, guess what ends up happening? How many times did the fans cry, why isn't Roman Reigns a heel? Why in the name of the blue hell is Roman Reigns not a heel? Oh, no. He's our top babyface. He's going to be the new John Cena. He's never turning. You don't know what you're talking about. He'd be unpopular for a week, and then that's it, and then his career would be over. Then finally, after the fans said, well, we just freaking give up. I guess he's just going to be a face for the rest of his life. Screw him. We don't like it. Screw it. Somebody at a WWE board meeting says, I have an idea. How about we turn Roman Reigns heel? Magnificent. We never thought of that. And then they take full credit for it. See how wonderful and smart we are? No, you listen to the fans, and the fans responded. That's what happened. You used to do that all the time. Now, Todd, it's like they take pride in doing just the opposite of what the fans want.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the WWE anymore. They don't give us what we want. They take what's on your plate and eat it. If you don't like it, that's what they did. They shove it in your face.
Worse than even that, they tend to take delight in saying, oh, you like this guy? We're going to make him the worst. We're going to make him helpless. We're going to make you watch him get his ass beat. He's not getting a punch in. He's going to have to do these gimmicks where he looks like a total putz. And I, for the life of me, Mike, I just don't understand why they do that.
I don't get it either. I mean, look, they got lucky with Becky Lynch. You know, before she left to have her baby, two things that happened. One, she had her face broken, you know, well, you get what I'm saying, but what's her name? And then they came up, well, it wasn't them coming up with it. It was her doing it with the whole man thing, right? And she's still doing that. In fact, they've worked that thing. Obviously, the man T-shirts are selling, and they've even worked that thing into her entrance. They're running with that thing because obviously the fans like it. Even though she's supposed to be a heel, the fans still like that the man thing. So obviously, I mean, again, takes me back to Tony Khan. If you just shut up and let them kind of, right now they're somewhat muddling along, right? The WWE, they'll have a couple of good shows here, a couple of good bad shows. They're not handling their people right. They're doing this. They're not doing what's best for business. It seems like Vince McMahon is kind of senile and doddering all along, and he's making changes, putting people in charge and firing them the next week, and it seems like the WWE is in chaos. And if Tony Khan would just shut up, you know, and let the WWE be in chaos, and who knows, at some point he may very well get to, you know, 2 million. You know?
Well, that's a good point. When your opponent is collapsing, you know, don't give them any incentive to stop the collapse. But you brought up a good point with Becky Lynch. How easy would it be? Okay, Becky Lynch said, I want to be a heel. I don't care what Becky Lynch wants. I would have said, well, no, that's not happening. Okay, that's not happening. You're going to get a gigantic ovation, and you know it. So the surprise isn't going to be that. The surprise is going to be Bianca Belair's turning heel. You're going to go in there and say, congratulations to you. And these didn't seem to want a match. And since, obviously, Carmella's not in any shape to give you a match, how about you and me? And then if Bianca Belair said, well, this would be such an honor. You know, I'm a big fan. And when Becky Lynch turned her back, she waylaid her. Beat the hell out of her. Fans would have been upset. And Bianca Belair could have said, this whole thing was a setup to begin with. Becky Lynch was too big of a coward to fight me one-on-one, so she goes back to the people who kowtow to everything she says, and she gets Sasha Banks thrown out of here. Carmella's just a plant. I know what this is. This is a conspiracy to get the belt away from me, because you know I am the best. You know I'll hold this belt forever, and you don't want it. Well, guess what? There's your Becky Lynch. Then you could have had the Street Profits flip too. Because then if you did bring in the Hit List guys, they could have flipped and you would have had a feud. You would have had a really good feud. Once you got past Becky Lynch, which she's not going to get by Becky Lynch. Obviously, Becky's going to get the belt. She just don't get the belt at WrestleMania. At some point, Becky Lynch gets the belt. And then you got that Hit List guys coming in. You got a perfect setup. Becky Lynch as a heel is doing nothing for you. Number one, the fans are still cheering her. It doesn't matter. Number two, she's not very good at it. She comes across as phony. So let me get this straight. in a time in your life when most people who have a child become reflective and, oh, my God, I'm a mother now. I got to set an example for my kids. Becky does the exact opposite and becomes an egotistical, braggadocious, outrageous, flamboyant heel. That doesn't make any sense. That's insulting the intelligence of the fans. See, what would have not insulted the intelligence of the fans if Becky Lynch came back and said, I wasn't even really going to come in there and challenge her. It was the fans who asked me to. And then I thought, maybe I will. And what does she do? She won't even give me a fair shot. No, she attacks me from behind. And if that's the example of what the WWE champion is going to do, then I think it's my duty to take it away from her. Then you would have had something. I think it would have been a hell of a lot better setup than this. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. The WWE prides itself on not giving the fans what they truly and honestly want. What they truly honestly wanted was a Becky Lynch to come back and be very recalcitrant and, oh, you know, I've taken a new look at my life, and I wasn't even sure I wanted to come back, but I missed you guys so much, and I do miss it, and, you know, I do want to be here. Yeah, I had the chance to do it with Seth Rollins. Instead, you said, no, let's double down and make him even weirder heel now that he's a father. You could have had so much good relation off that, of Seth Rollins saying, it changed my life. People said that all the time. I used to laugh at them, but it changed my life. Nope, couldn't do that. So now it doesn't feel real anymore. Seth Rollins feels like a cartoon villain. He feels like the guy who's twirling his mustache, tying the damsel in distress on the railroad tracks, going, ha, 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 ha. It doesn't feel real. He has no real motivation to be this way. Becky Lynch has no motivation to be this way. Bianca Belair would have had motivation because she would have said, well, you throw Becky Lynch at me. I'm supposed to be facing Sasha Banks. Then you con me with Carmella. And then all of a sudden out comes Becky Lynch, who nobody thought was here. And then, oh, I wasn't coming out here to challenge you, but the fans wanted it. Yeah, like you didn't know that was going to happen. You put me on the spot and you did it on purpose because you don't want me to be the champion. I get it. That would have been great. And people would have believed it because they would have said, well, I can see where she's coming from. It makes a little sense. I see her point of view. I don't agree with it, but I see where she's coming from. I don't see where Becky Lynch is coming from, Mike, so it doesn't make sense.
Right. And furthermore, as far as Becky Lynch goes, you know, they had the night she gave up the belt, when she announced that she was pregnant, right? The night she gave up the belt with that briefcase to Asuka, we all said, okay, there, and she said, you be a warrior, I'm going to be a mother.
Yep.
All right? And then we all, after she gave it away, the show right after she gave that belt away, we all said, okay, there's your money match. Down the line, there's your money match. And they screwed that up.
And it was a money match. It was absolutely the money match, and they screwed it up. You're right. This is what I'm saying. The WWE prides itself on screwing up the things they have that the fans are looking forward to. Looking forward to Becky Lynch coming back? Well, she's going to be a heel. Looking forward to The Fiend finally returning after being gone for 8 months? Hey, he's losing. Okay, well then, and you wonder why fans are unhappy? Honestly, you wonder why fans are unhappy? Because you're actively attempting to sabotage anything they want. I'm worried that if Roman Reigns sells much more merchandise, they're going to say, well, you're going to have to lose this belt to somebody because this isn't working. I don't know, man. I don't know. And now right away, Big E becomes the champion. This is something, however, that you have to get on the fans about. oh, Big E needs to be that champion. He needs to be that champion. He needs to be that champion. Okay, he won. 3 weeks later, Big E's not working out as champion. Well, you're the ones who wanted it. That's part of the reason the WWE does do it, because they think, well, you're just going to change your mind. If fans would just be steady about what is it they want, maybe the WWE would listen to it more. But you can't have that. But we're watching the destruction of characters even right now. Drew McIntyre going to SmackDown is not going to help. What are you going to? He's going to feud with Roman Reigns. He's not winning. Drew McIntyre's time as champion is probably done. Maybe he'll be a U.S. champion or an Intercontinental champion or something, but I don't think he's going to be a heavyweight champion anymore. I just don't. I think they tried him, and they said, yeah, we got the usefulness out of you, and now you're going to be relegated to your contender, but that's about it. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I see. So to be perfectly honest, you know, the WWE is frustrating. What are we going to see tonight? Well, we got a 2.5-hour special. We got Lesnar showing up. This is the go-home show for SmackDown for the for Thursday's Crown Jewel. So for the people who can see it on FS1 or some other method, we'll see what ends up happening. It better be good. It better be real good, because I know a lot of people who really don't like watching Crown Jewel's pay-per-view. And there's a lot of people, unlike myself and Todd and Mike and guys who do the radio shows or participate in these radio shows that sort of have to watch it, who just say, I'm not watching it. I don't have to report on it. I don't have to comment on it. I disagree with them going, so I'm not watching it. A lot of people do that, more than I thought. So we'll see what happens. Tonight is going to be a very important night. I got news. If Tony Khan does manage to draw more people in that half hour than that last half hour of SmackDown, the war really is on. It really is on. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.